It sounds like you've got a steadier boat to row through the world than I had when I was young.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, because I really didn't have my head together. I mean, in my left brain, you know, I had accrued enough minutes to graduate high school a year early, right? But I didn't want to because I wanted to attend the prom, the football games. I wanted to be with my friends. So in the mornings, I had like one or two classes that were interesting to me. And then I also was a teacher's assistant in physics, chemistry, and biology. Right. Mm-hmm. And that was fun and kind of boosted my status in my senior year a little bit. The girls started to get, you know, more interested in me because I was like, had some authority in the class. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I'd ever really had anything like that, you know, in my social situation. So take a while to get used to, you know, obviously, you know, there's a maturation process there as you advance through life. You know, you dream about relationships and sex up until the point where you have one. And then once you finally have one, you don't know what the hell to do with it. You know, so you just got to work through it.
I had this period of time when I was really uncertain about myself. Whenever I had a crush, I've become really self-conscious. But later on, after being in a stable relationship, dated some boys, I just be like, fuck you all. I don't give a shit. Yes. Because at the end of the day, it's still like you taking care of yourself. No one should be responsible about your personal growth, your psychological movements, things like that. You should be taking like full individual responsibility of taking care of yourself. So since then, I just feel like I don't care how do people think. If this is something I want, I go for it. If this is my lifestyle and I'm not hurting anyone, I'm still trying to be a good person, being nice to people around me. I guess that's it. I don't care what you say about me.
Right. Yeah. No one has a right to judge.
Right. So I like came across all, I did a little bit of research about your like post on TDF. I hope not. It's not stalking.
No, it's a public forum. Anybody can see everything that anybody puts there.
Yeah. So. It's really like stalking my college boyfriend's Facebook page anyway. But I have to say those are impressive pictures, especially about Hatley, Hazel, and Harper. And do you have a favorite doll of, like among three of them?
Well, you know, Hadley was my first, so she'll always be somewhat special. I had her for about 2 years and was developing her personality in my head. And, you know, figuring out all the technical bits about doll maintenance and how often I should do certain routines to, you know, to keep her healthy, so to speak. Then it started, you know, I was sitting at the computer one day. I think I was probably on TDF, actually.
Yeah.
And I looked over at Hadley and I'm like, you know what? A super hot chick like her. Mm-hmm. Doesn't wander around the world alone. They always have winged girls.
Yes.
So I was like, all right, so I'm either fooling myself in order to justify getting more dolls, or as part of her personality and her sort of environment I've created for her in here, she really does need some wing girls, right? So
yeah.
I was like, well, either way, it doesn't matter whether I just want a little more variety or I want to give her a break, because, you know, come on, you know, girls sometimes need a break, right? So I went ahead and got Harper, and they got along fine together. And then about a year later, I got Kendall. And I had already done this exercise. You know, there are vast amounts of our, you know, gray matter that we don't tap into. We got plenty of storage space. It's not possible to learn too much or store too much information in your head. You might forget some things over the years, but you've basically got an unlimited space to store stuff. And I thought, you know, I consciously thought, well, I can probably develop and project upon these dolls full personalities, the whole bit. It was already happening naturally with Hadley. And so what I did was I decided to, you know, I kind of figure out what I would want their voices to sound like if they could talk to me. That way, if I'm going through some kind of thought process and feedback, contrary opinion, stuff like that, objective analysis, pops into my head, rather than talking to myself on the inside, it would be fun if once in a while, without me even thinking about it, it sounded like it was coming from one of my dolls. Like if I'm trying to work through something financial and I'm kind of planning things and how much I have to save, how many debts, how much of my debt do I need to pay off in order to accomplish this other thing? As I'm working through that process in my own head, it's nice to have, you know, like Hadley's voice pop in once in a while and in Elizabeth Hurley's accent and meter say, well, you know, if you try that, it's going to cause this to happen, or you're going to be taking that risk, or are you sure you really want to do that and stuff. So that started to happen with Hadley, and I'm guessing psychiatrists and psychologists probably have a name for that phenomenon or whatever, but, and it's not like I'm turning into a woman mentally, okay? Mm-hmm. When one of my doll's voices pops into my head, it's not like it's me, right? Obviously, I'm constructing the sentences, but I'm doing it on the basis of what my brain thinks, you know, the tapes my brain thinks a woman would play in a given situation, right? Because I do have, between growing up surrounded by older sisters and their friends and being surrounded by fellow coworkers who were female and all the girlfriends and all the one night stands and the two wives, they've lived rent-free in my head a lot, even though they're not here. I mean, I can still kind of hear them on occasion, you know, in certain circumstances. So what I did, and not to make this story too long, I devised a method whereby I would more strongly associate voices and vocal patterns with each of my dolls. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, Hadley sounds like Elizabeth Hurley. Harper sounds like Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City and Mannequin.
Yeah.
You know, Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
And Kendall sounds like Amy Adams.
Oh.
Those are three female voices that I find particularly alluring. You know, when I hear them speak, whether in interviews or, you know, movie lines, there's just something about their voice, all three of them, there's something about their voices that really soothe the savage beast. Right. So what I did was it didn't take long. I just used an associative process. Like I would sit at the computer.
Yeah.
I'd put in an Amy Adams movie or Austin Powers or that one that Elizabeth Hurley was in with and something or other where she's the devil. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the name of it right now. Or interviews like, you know, they have all been on the Graham Norton show and stuff like that. So I'd call those up on the computer and then, or like on YouTube, sit the doll down next to me, sit across from her. And I would listen what, you know, one of these actresses was saying while I was staring intently into the doll's eyes. Over time that cemented an association between sight and sound.
Yes. Right. There's a connection in your brain that these two elements are connected.
Yes, I manipulated myself.
Oh, God.
I will never admit that I've gone completely mad, but I will say that it is a very pleasant kind of madness.
At least you enjoy it. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it provides a bit of satisfaction for your life. It doesn't hurt anyway.
And you can get snarky sometimes, like, you know, I may be getting ready to head out the door to go somewhere and, you know, like walk through the area of my place that I call the Galaxy Diner, which is usually where the dolls are. You've seen it in the photos, you know, with the checkered deck and the table and all.
Yes, and, I saw it.
Okay. As I'm walking by, one of them might, like, in the corner of my eye, she'll do a hair flip, eye roll, and say, "Nice shirt, dude." You know, like, and then I'm like, "Oh, right, I probably shouldn't wear this shirt for where I'm going."
Yeah, like she's saying, "Where are you heading to?
You are not wearing that."
That, yes.
But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And
right.
As long as you have your own head together, you've got room for other people's heads in there, I think, which you can project onto your dolls.
But that's actually, at least that's interactive.
For this kind of doll, it's as interactive as it gets. One thing I'm not interested in doing is building a relationship with an AI or a waifu in order, you know, like in the movie Her, when Joaquin Phoenix got all hooked on Scarlett Johansson and then found out that he was doing the same sort of relationship with 150,000 other users, you know. And
That's
anyway,
right.
but if that was a twist I wasn't expecting, because it's like all of a sudden Joaquin Phoenix is heartbroken by a voice that comes through his iPod. But I'm like, oh well, you know, it sounds like he's going to need some help. But yeah, the thing is, we get to the point where robots and robotic companions are on the level of what we see in movies like 2050 or Cherry 2000. I'm happy with my regular static dolls. I don't want anything that is not authentic enough, if that makes sense. It's like, in my mind, these dolls can cross the uncanny valley for me in my mind. And I feel like I have like a Charlie's Angel situation where when I'm out, these three are yakking away with each other and having a great day. And when I come in, all three of them go, "Hi, Rock, how's it going?" But the thing is, I think if I had an AI with a voice I didn't particularly care for, or it started to develop its own, I guess it's an algorithmic thing where through experience it starts to build its own personality. I don't want that. My dolls have their personality. They're all in my head, and I keep them in their proper places, and I keep everything on the straight and narrow, you know. And I don't want any, you know, like incipient technology. I don't want to be part of their learning curve. You know, I don't want to risk screwing up what I've got going on here with something awkward, you know.
I think there is a major difference between what you've just said, like you're creating a personality in your mind than having an AI. So I always have this doubt for people who want to create an AI voice or like responsive system for their dolls. I was just wondering, like, do you know that your doll does not have consciousness and the AI you created for her is not her consciousness?
Bingo.
And yes, that's my question, but I'm just never bold enough to ask this question because I know some people, they are so deeply connected with their doll and they want their doll to be as realistic as possible.
Well, you don't want to be swinging a baseball bat in their china shop, you know? It's like if that's what they're into, then you know, you gotta treat it with a, you know, a little respect and a soft touch.
So I never asked this question before, but with you saying that, I saw a whole new perspective. Like at least you just like offer like differentiation between, you know, affection of an object than with feelings, actually connection with a person. And that you said you project something you imagined. I mean, it sounds like different, but for me, I think it totally makes sense because at the end of the day, even we're connecting with a human or whatever, we're still projecting what we want to see.
You just went exactly where I was going to, is that, you know, one of the reasons we have so much dissonance in our human relationships is because we base our expectations on people largely on how they look, how they act, and how they speak, right? So, oh, I don't know. Let's say some super frisky guy's at the beach, you know, he hasn't had many girlfriends, he's a young man, and but he's watched a lot of porn and he's totally hooked on Riley Reid, right? Or one of the other big porn stars, right? And he meets a girl who looks just like her, and maybe she even talks like her a little bit, or like he thinks she would. Then all of a sudden he's got all of this bullshit floating around in his head about her that may not be grounded in reality. And she may have, personality wise, her thoughts, whims, desires may be completely different from what he thinks it's going to be. And vice versa. You know, I mean, there are guys out there who look like, you know, Apollo, you know, who could basically conquer the solar system. And that may be the way their girlfriend thinks of them when they meet them. And 6 months later, after getting to know him, she thinks he's a total freaking listless loser, right? You know, it's like, yeah, he's really good looking, but man, you know, He's stupid, ignorant, and has no talent or motivation, right? So that's a huge surprise because she thought she was dating a Greek god.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Yeah, we do project. We do project our needs.
Right.
You know, it gets really dangerous. You know, I'm not a sex therapist or a relationship coach like some of your other guests have been, but it's obvious to me that we are treading on very thin ice when we try to get other people to fulfill each and every one of our needs.
Yes.
Because what happens is you get into a relationship. It starts off tentative at first. You get to know each other. Now, back in the late 60s, early 70s, you might go out on 3 or 4 dates before you have sex. Nowadays, it's kind of like, well, I came over to have sex. Do you actually want to have a relationship? But with Tinder and all that, you know, I came over for Netflix and chill, but I do kind of like you, you know. But the thing is, it's very easy to start drawing things out of people via projection that they really don't have in them, right?
Yes.
And so you're basically on two different train tracks trying to head the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it just doesn't work. I think this is why one of the reasons why 50% of marriages dissolve and why people tend to have dozens of girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever, by the time they're ready to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very hard to see someone eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Like a woman can look me right in the eye and say, I love you. And it may not mean to her what it means to me.
Yes. Right.
Right. I mean, the simplest thing. You're right.
Right. I mean, it's the language, but different meaning for a different person.
And I have this weird theory going on because of the modern dating culture and hookup culture. Because sometimes, as you just said, like people ending up with multiple girlfriends or boyfriends, but just objectifying other people, like treating other people like an object you use to release your sex desire. So,
oh man, I used to love it when women objectified me when I was young. But sorry to interrupt. I'm just kidding.
But I just have this feeling like, okay, you said you come over, let's watch a Netflix movie and chill. So back in the days, it was about like the 3 days, then you have sex. So now you wouldn't even want to go on 3 dates. And you're just treating people like a masturbator cup. And I was like, that's no better than having a sex doll. I mean, for a sex doll, you maintain it, you dress it, but you know, for hooking up, you just like, you know, watch a Netflix movie that you wouldn't even have to spend any penny on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sometimes make me feel like this modern culture and hookup thing is very disrespectful for people getting involved.
Right. And it has occurred to me that my relation, as long as I keep my head sorted, my relationship with my dolls may be healthier for me than any human relationship that I might indulge in right
Correct.
Now. I, you know, it's
yes.
Boy, it's it's a real minefield. I guess you know, Love Nestle being primarily a torso manufacturer, right?
Right.
Now I don't own any torsos because, you know, like I won't buy a doll that I can't buy shoes for. I have like, you should see the wardrobe. I mean, I can send you photos. I have 10% of my clothing storage is for me.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the dressers, the walk-in closets, the totes under the bed, and in the bathroom cabinets, all dolls. It's all for the dolls.
Goodness.
I have probably bought $30,000 or $40,000 worth of wardrobe items and makeup over the past, you know, 5 years.
Show me those pictures. I have to see it.
Okay.
I have to see it.
All right. Yeah. I'll do that.
So let's circle back a little bit. I just have one.
Yeah, but torso-wise.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but, and I know we're running low on time here, but I don't own torsos, but I know that they do offer significant advantages. For one thing, there's a lot of doll owners that really don't want to go down the rabbit hole the way I have. They don't want something that so closely emulates a human.
Mm-hmm.
They just want something that's fairly lightweight that they can grab onto.
Yeah.
You know, not like you would the sleeve of a fleshlight where it feels like you actually are banging a flashlight, right?
Right.
Torsos are great for people, you know, in that situation. They're not my thing. but I know they're quite popular. I mean, a significant amount of traffic on the doll forum has to do with torso dolls. Mm-hmm. And for them, they just have to get over the hurdle of, like, if they have a torso that doesn't have a head, mm-hmm. well, then what do you do? What are you going to stare at? I guess you just stare at the boobs, you know, or whatever. So everybody has to kind of decide for themselves what physical features that may be missing in their torso doll are okay with them. You know, yeah. That's okay. I can imagine that it has arms, legs, and a head. Mm-hmm. Or I don't care whether it has arms, legs, or a head. You know, it's mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah, the thing is, one thing that surprised me once I got to know the tens of thousands of members who are on the doll forum, mm-hmm. Is how utterly normal they are. Yes. I mean, there's a few people out there who have sexual appetites or kinks that I'll never be able to relate to, but I don't judge, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's for the sheer number of people who are on that forum on a daily basis. They are a very respectful and respectable crew. And they, exactly. you know, every once in a while, there's a bit of a dust up and, you know, I have to put mm-hmm. on my moderator hat. And, you know, I mean, that's normal, but,
yeah.
but that's normal in any human interaction.
Yes. Yes.
But when I first found the forum after I got Hadley, mm-hmm. I was looking over the various forum titles for all the sub forums. Cause there's like 30 or 40 of them. And I tried to research the whole forum. You know, as far as I'm concerned, they're among the most polite people I've known.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I've belonged to like skill model aircraft forums mm-hmm. where there's a heck of a lot more rough and tumble. You know, guys have strong opinions. They start
yeah.
you know, bashing on each other or they start bashing on manufacturers. I don't see near as much of that on the doll forum.
Yes,
And
it's very surprising for me when I first started to learn about the doll community. And also I tried to, you know, we have this 24/7 like intercom stuff. Basically, you can live chat with our staff, right? So mm-hmm. I was on that sometimes just to, you know, get close to our clients and to know what they really need. And also get into the doll forum to learn about people's preferences. What do they like? One thing that's really surprising is doll lovers are extremely polite, more polite and respectful than most people I met in real life.
Go on Twitter or X. I mean, you know, go on there. You can't go on X for about more than 30 seconds without finding people ripping each other's virtual throats out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And part of that is the Mike Tyson factor. It's because they know they're not going to get punched in the mouth, you know, so their inhibitions are way down.
Right. You know? And I found this very interesting regulation, which I love it in a forum, is that one day I was posting basically an instruction image of how to use a sex doll torso. And that involves like a naked man using a torso. And that picture is a bit revealing, but it's an illustration. So I thought it should be okay, but it's not. And it's forbidden in a doll forum, which I think is great because it's so clearly draw the line and letting people know, hey, this is only a space that you share your like love dolls. You talk to people about your shared hobbies, something like that, but no other right. things.
Well, yeah. We basically have 12 cardinal rules over at the forum. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not my forum. I'm not the owner, but I had been on there for a few years. And then one of the staff members reached out to me and said, hey, look, you know what? We could really use a moderator in your time zone. Do you feel like you'd like to do that? And mm-hmm. and I said, well, you know, I'll figure it out as fast as I can, and I'll do it until I'm killed or you find someone better, you know. And the yeah. The philosophy is to moderate only when necessary. Mm-hmm. But the 12 rules are what they are, and it behooves new members to pay attention and read them.
Yes,
because like. The owners have a vision for the doll forum, and it's all about doll enthusiasm, doll technology, doll care, mm-hmm. and, you know, photography, sharing your photography with and your experiences with like-minded individuals on the forum. What it's not about is it's not about pornography. It's not a place for people to drop spam links to dating sites. It's, you know, it's like rule five is disruptive posting. In other words, if it's clear that someone develops a pattern where it's like they like to throw a grenade in the room and run out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we deal with them too. But like I said, the philosophy is you moderate as little as possible. So we do let a lot of things that are sort of borderline. Like what I'll do is before I jump in and start editing someone's post or deleting particular words or photos or quarantining it all together, unless it's a blatant violation, you know, because after a few years of doing this, you get to know where the lines are drawn.
Yes.
But I'll go over to the moderators forum, which is basically a staff forum that resides behind the main forum, mm-hmm. right? And I'll just post it up there. I'll be like, hey, I put this topic on, you know, I locked this topic. People can still see it, but they can't respond to it. Two or three of you guys weigh in, see if you agree with my assessment, or offer me an alternative. Yeah. Sometimes it results in firm moderation. Other times it results in me unlocking the topic and letting it fly. I don't rely on my own opinions unless it is just a plainly visible, blatant violation of one of the rules. Then I don't take the time, because the damage that post might do while I'm waiting for other opinions from my fellow staff, you know, it could be significant, right? Depending on what it is. So sometimes you just got to get that stuff out of there immediately.
Yeah, because you have to draw the bottom line. Otherwise, the threats and conversation may go wild.
It's the same as like a highway patrolman or a policeman who understands that 5 miles an hour over the speed limit is sort of the public norm, right, on certain streets. But on those same streets, like anywhere from 7 to 10, he's going to pull you over. That's where the threshold is. So some people can walk the line, you know, because again, it's in these conversations online, and to a certain extent, the one we're having right now, I can't see you. I can't, you know, I can't detect your body language. I can't see your facial expressions.
Yes.
So sometimes people say things, you know, will post things on the forum that seem a little edgy to me or seem a little inappropriate. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is that something that would offend the original poster, the person who created the topic, if they were sitting on opposite ends of a couch? I mean, I subject it to a little bit of scrutiny like that before I act.
Mm-hmm. That's great, because sometimes when you're communicating through text, it is possible that you misunderstand each other because of, you know, you don't got to hear the tones, the way he said it. Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
70% of our normal human communication, somewhere around 70%, is nonverbal. It's not what you say, it's how you're saying it. Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, the clock is ticking at the moment. So before we wrap up, I have one last question for you, is that do you have any suggestions for newcomers to the sex doll world?
I guess the most important thing is, obviously, if you've become aware of sex dolls, you've either discovered a forum or you've seen a YouTube video or you've stumbled across a vendor or manufacturer online. No matter how attractive you find the first couple of dolls you encounter on the internet, don't buy yet. Mm-hmm. Do your research. You know, search the forums for similar models, go through, because all the vendors' websites are slightly different. I mean, they all have similar functionality, but I find some are easier to search than others. And anyway, walk through the entire store, see everything that's on the shelves. Be sure to read up on the features that are listed on, you know, the product page for every doll, because they are variable. Not all of them have gel breasts. Not all of them have a squishy butt. So obviously there's the body proportions themselves. How tall are they? Do you prefer like A cups and B cups, or are you more of a C cup, D cup guy? And one note of caution, these guys who get like the triple Z, you know, dolls that have like breasts that are like all the way down to their knees, they require a whole different kind of care, because that's a lot of pendulous weight. And some of these guys who really love the whole big boob thing, on occasion they regret it, because just by the sheer weight, those dolls tend to suffer damage at an increased rate over dolls that have more realistic like swim team proportions, right? The other thing is watch the weight, because you know a lot of the manufacturers, you don't know whether the overall weight they list, like whether it's 46 kilograms or whatever, includes the head. Know how much you can lift, and Being able to bench press 250 pounds at the gym doesn't mean that an 85-pound sex doll won't be a challenge, because a barbell at the gym doesn't have limbs that can move around and shift the weight distribution. It doesn't have joints that can bend and screw up your grip. They're also not bouncy, right? So it's not like carrying a barbell. Sometimes it's more like carrying a burlap bag full of fighting cats, you know? I mean, it can be difficult to control until you figure it out. And until you're good at it, never try to deadlift a doll from the floor level. Have a place ready for her upon delivery where you can put her right about your hip or belly button level. That way, when you go to lift her up, you can lift her up, or him, you can lift him up like a, as if you're a forklift.
Well, thank you for your great suggestions, and definitely love this conversation. Well, thank you for coming, Rock 13.
Oh, sure thing. Hey, my pleasure. It's always fun to talk about, you know, the dolls. I'll send you those wardrobe pics.
Come on, just so bring it on.
Anyway, thank you, Sarah. And give Emily my best regards. And I'll look forward to seeing the blog.
Shoot me those pictures. And looking forward to talk to you.